Okay. Well, today I want to talk about the accuser and our advocate, because we've all got those both. Well, hopefully you got the advocate. If you know Jesus, you have an advocate. But here we go. I want to start from Zechariah chapter 3, and I'm reading from the NIV. It starts in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. So we're talking about the accuser. Initially, so the accuser, and I looked up the definition of that in my Macquarie dictionary here, which I hardly ever pull out anymore because it's usually just being Googled, yes. But I got something else on my Google and I set it up, so I thought I'll go to a book, which is probably a 1980s one. But anyway, I don't think the meaning of accuser changes. The accuser is someone that brings a charge against you with a fault or a crime to blame you. And this is used in a court of law. There's the accuser or the prosecutor, and they will bring the charges up for the person that is being accused and show them what they've done wrong. And so we all have an accuser on this earth, especially when you become a Christian. Before you're a Christian, you have the accuser, but he doesn't really hassle you as much as when you become a Christian, because you're not on his side anymore, you see. So you've come out of the kingdom of darkness and you've come into God's kingdom. You're a new creation in Christ when you've given your heart to Jesus and you've said, "I'm going to live for you," and you get baptized and you say, "I'm his," and you and then the accuser starts on you. Maybe you might find, well, this is how I found it when I first became a Christian, and I think it's also the scriptures that you're exposed to for the first time, and you take it on and you believe it, and that faith and the belief that you're a brand new Christian. Like one of the first scriptures I read, or what was read to me, was "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You'll be clean." And I thought, wow, that is amazing. And so when I became a Christian, I knew that scripture and I believed it and I took it into my heart and I believed it. And the accuser had nothing on me because I went, "Oh, but it says," you know, I used the word, even though I wasn't thinking that I was using the word, I was just reminding myself, "Oh, God has set me free. He's washed me as white as snow." And the accuser couldn't touch me because I used the word, even though I didn't go, "Thus saith the Lord," but I knew it in my heart. And, you know, for a time when I first became a Christian, I was just on cloud nine. I just thought, "Oh, it's so good." And I'd put away things that I'd done, you know, really obvious things that I'd been involved with, that I walked away from that. And so as time went on, I felt pretty good that I'd actually left these things behind. And so I sort of built up a bit of a righteousness of my own and trusted that, well, I don't do that anymore, and so I'm pretty good. And so that is when the accuser could come in and accuse me, because he said, because, you know, you go for a time where you think, oh, well, I don't swear anymore, I don't do this, and then suddenly you start swearing, or you start gossiping about someone, and then you read the word and you discover, oh, that's not right. And then the accuser would go, well, you've lost it now. You were never a Christian. And so then the battle came in. I started to feel heavy and like, well, maybe I'm not a Christian. And so the amount of times when I used to go to Bethesda in the night, I'd go up to get saved probably about five times. Does anyone want to give their hearts to Jesus? Yes, I will again. Because I felt like, oh, maybe I didn't do it right. Because I'm feeling guilty. But, you know, we all have an accuser, and we have to know this so we're not outsmarted by the devil, who will try and steal the joy that God has given to us. He'll try and steal our life away. He'll try and steal everything that God has given to us. And so we have to be aware of this. Don't be unaware that that you have an accuser, which is, his name is Satan, by the way, if that hasn't been made clear, you'd know that. Satan is the accuser. But I'll go to the advocate. We have an advocate. An advocate will... plead in favour of, support or urge by argument, recommend publicly, someone who defends, vindicates or espouses a cause by argument, an upholder and a defender. Jesus is our advocate. He is our defender. He is the one that stands there and says, nah, you haven't got anything on this girl anymore. You haven't got anything on this boy anymore. Because, yes, there was a payment that needed to be paid, and I've paid it in full. It's amazing. So can we go to Revelation 12:10? Because I want you to see that, you know, Zechariah, that's in the Old Testament. We're going to go right to the end, to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10 is your little phone app going all right? Jules, yeah? She's got a new one. So it says... Well, it's gone. I'll go just a bit before, but we'll start from verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they, I love this scripture. It always gets me. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. You know, it says in it's in the latter part of verse 10, for the accuser accuses them before our God day and night. He has been hurled down. His job, his main function in this world is to accuse you. And if we don't realize that we've got an accuser, we can start beating ourselves up and trying to make ourselves right by our own efforts. And it'll come to nothing. It'll actually even make you worse. I was looking up flagellation. Has anyone heard of that? Let me look. I've got it on my Google thingy here. See, that's why I needed that, Jared. So flagellation is a real thing. People do this today, these days, and they have done it for years. It's a religious practice. And what they do is it's a type of flogging, whipping, or lashing in the act of beating the human body with special implements such as whips, lashes, rods, switches, the cat o' nine's tails. And the reason they do this is to punish themselves for sin. And, you know, there's the people that literally got their whips going, and you might have seen on news from time to time they put that up, especially on Easter. I've seen people just going like this, you know. And but you know what? We all do. Well, I don't know if you've overcome this, but we all do this to ourselves every day. We agree in a bad way, like we take it to the nth degree in agreeing with the accuser. We go, oh yeah, I'm just so terrible. And we forget that we have an advocate. What the enemy does also is flashes back things that you've done in the past. And do when this happens, like, it's amazing how good your memory is for this. Like, I've turned 50 and I feel like my brain is just like going all foggy at times, but no way for 1 second is any of the things that I've done wrong faded from my memory. Well, if there's the things that come in living colour. You know, you might be sitting down and you're just thinking, right, I'm going to just pray. I'm going to just get with God and I'm just going to really listen to what he's saying. You know, you've decided to go and pray. Like, you've actually decided to go and pray and walk, go for a walk or something. You begin. Does this happen to you or is this just me? You begin and you start praying. Maybe you might start with, Lord, I just thank you for this day and I just want to be with you right now and just bring something. I don't know, whatever you start with. As soon as you start, the enemy starts, the accuser starts going, well, really, you should be reading the Bible. Like, because you're walking, you know, I do this when I go for a walk down the road. And so you think, well, you should actually be reading the Bible because what do you know of the scriptures to actually just pull it out? Do you ever get that? Yeah. So you might be going, you're praying, you're there, you're with God right that moment, and the enemy comes in and goes, it's not enough. It's just not enough. Because you really should have put a few more scriptures. Maybe you should have actually read 2-3 books of the Bible before you came here. Like, it's just so unreasonable. And so you get into this lockdown thing and you go, no, I'm going to just keep going. And this is a good spot where you can pray in tongues because you just go, no, I'm going to just pray in tongues. And I just walk and pray in tongues. And then it just, those things break off too. But there's also another thing which I'll get to that accompanies that. But, I just think, yeah, so I'll go, this is how my brain goes. So I go and back home and I'll get my Bible out and I'll start reading it and I'll open it up to Psalms. I'm going through the Psalms. I'm up to Psalm 18. And then I think, well, maybe I should actually be reading the epistles. Like, I should go back to Genesis because maybe I really need to get a really good handle on that before I pray or before I even read. Well, I should have a commentary with this. You know, this is not you. This is the accuser. And he, why is it that it's just so like loud and you start to think it's you, but it's not. It's the accuser. And the reason why it's so loud is because he is a living being, okay? He's not just out there. He's a living being, right? He is a fallen angel, and he is accusing you. It's as loud as anything. And so, you know, this is the thing. Does it happen to you in communion today or any time? You're at communion and right? Distraction. Yeah. Like you're in communion and you go, oh, just, right, I'm taking communion right now and this is what it's all about, Lord. And then you have this thought like, I wonder what we'll have for lunch. Oh, oh God, sorry. I should really be thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so tired. I wish that dog would stop barking last night. And you just go all over the place. And then the enemy will say, well, you remember what? That thing that you might have seen something from your days before Christ. I call it BC. That a picture might flash up in your mind and it might be just like so disgusting and you go, well, I'm taking communion now. How can I take communion if I'm just looking at that in my head? And you're fighting and you're hearing this person's reading the scripture by his wounds, you know, you're healed. And you think, oh, I'm battling. And then you go, oh, Lord, I just thank you. You just set me free. Is it just me? Good. Well, not good, but it's pretty common, isn't it? And also, you know, at times, like, you know, people know that you're a Christian now, right? And then you think, oh, I'm going to go and share something. God really showed me to, you know, go and speak to that girl. And then suddenly you'll have this thought like, oh, gee, if they only knew what you did yesterday, you haven't really got any sort of grounds to go and talk to them about God. And you go, oh, yeah, that's right. I really need to go and repent and maybe read a few more books of the Bible before I go and talk to that person because I'm just not worthy enough. These are all the accuser's tactics. He will use these over and over and he doesn't run out of excuses because he knows you. He sort of gets to know what pushes your buttons and how you can shut you down, how he can shut you up. And we have to be aware that we have an accuser that accuses us before God day and night, as it said in Revelation 12. So, yeah, if they only knew what you're really like, that's the thing that happens to me. And so it makes it hard to concentrate in prayer and in prayer meetings. And, you know, you just start to beat yourself up and you just think, well, you know, what am I going to do? How have I got to this place where I felt that I know I'm a Christian and I know that I know God has saved me, but why do I keep falling back on my own righteousness? Well, the conclusion is that we don't need to be flagellating ourselves. We don't need to be beating ourselves up with the whip. Like, because every time we hear the accuser say, you're just not good enough, you really did go off at that person. Well, if you did go off, if you hear the accuser saying something to you, like you really can't speak to someone about the Lord because you were gossiping about someone yesterday. You go, thank you. Yes, you're right. Lord, I thank you that your grace has saved me. And Lord, I confess my sin because I know that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. If you're ever stuck, you go, nah, I'm going to confess it, because it says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So when the accuser comes, you go, oh yeah, it's heaps worse than actually what you're saying. I'm heaps worse. And you know what? I'm going to build my bricks in this new kingdom. Okay, with the accusations that he brings, you go, nah, I'm not going to stay there. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, devil. But I know I have an advocate and I stand behind him. I stand in him. I stand covered with his blood. He stood in the place. And Jesus says, that's it. You're justified. You've been set free and the payment's been paid. You no longer have to live with the enemy just hammering you all the time and saying you're just not good enough. You just need to try a bit harder, because if we try a bit harder and we feel like, oh, well, that's better because I tried a bit harder, then you're relying on your own righteousness. And when you rely on your own righteousness, it's like it's the filthy rags that you're putting back on, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it says in Isaiah. But what it says in Zechariah, he says, put a clean robe on him. Shall we read that again? Because it's really beautiful and powerful what he's saying about Joshua. And the angel of the Lord here is Jesus, you know, and it's pointing to who he is. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Okay, the angel of the Lord is Jesus. And Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? So what happened was Joseph was being pulled out of the kingdom, and God has pulled him out, and he's just like God's pulled us out of our sinful life. He's pulled us out. We're all smouldering sticks. We're all covered in our sin, and God has pulled us out, and we're this smouldering stick. And even though the fire's gone out on that stick, when you pull it aside from the fire, there's still the evidence of the sin. And see, that's what the enemy's accusing us of. But he says here, now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. See, God has taken off your filthy clothes, your righteousness. The things that you know, when before you were a Christian, you said, well, I'm a good person, which is what everyone will say. Well, I haven't murdered anyone, so I'm a good person. And these are filthy clothes. It's not the bad things you've done. It's the good things you think you've done as well. And they're just not good enough. They're not going to make you holy. So take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. You will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements. Then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. He's given us a place in his kingdom. He's put every one of you that has given your life over to God, he's put new clothes on you. Don't put the filthy ones back on and go, I'm going to try and work for this salvation now. Now that he's saved me, I really need to work at it. What you need is to just fall at his mercy seat and just say, thank you, Lord. And whenever the enemy accuses you, you just say, and sometimes it's like you know that you've repented of it. Like say it's something that you've done and that thought comes up. Say you're gossiping about someone. You go, you confess it and then you move on. And if the enemy accuses you again, you say, no, I've confessed that because Jesus loves me. And then you thank you, Lord. You deliberately go into saying, Jesus, you are a wonderful Saviour. You've saved me from myself. You've saved me from all my stinking thoughts. I thank you. You stay on that road. The enemy doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. He'll leave. And then you can get on to the things you wanted to pray for in the beginning. That's why you went out for that walk. That's why you went and opened the Bible to just be with him. And then you'll find, as you just remember that, you've got an accuser, you've got someone there accusing you. You've got to remember you've also got the advocate, which is Jesus. He's standing there, he's saying, it's done. She's mine, he's mine. You have nothing on him. It's been paid in full. He's in the courtroom and it's all over with. And we have to remind ourselves and keep... That's why we really need to read the word so we know what it says. So we can go, yeah, I believe that, and I can stand on that. And it's even better to memorise some, I've just found, because it's in those foggy times in my brain where I go, oh, I can't remember anything, but I can remember 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And another one that I've said hundreds of times, the ones that stick in my mind is that Hebrews 4:12, where it says, you know, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, people. It's alive. And it cuts through to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And so when you read it, let it go deep in you. And that scripture that we read before in Revelation, I'll just finish on that just so you can hear it again. It says, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. So remember, he has saved us. He has set us free. And I just wanted this last little verse from a song that we sang today. That we've been singing, and I hope that this really ministers to you when we're singing that, because I love it. I love the words in it that's confirming what he has done. This is the second song we had. It's called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom. My steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. It's got to get to you, doesn't it? It's got to hit you. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing. All is mine. Okay, he gets me. It's got to get you. It's got to hit you where you go, oh, wow. Every time we read his word, we want to be just overcome with his love and grace, don't we? And this is the truth of his word. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. See, it always finished, those verses always finish with yet not I. It's not my righteousness, but Christ through me. Every time we find that people say, oh, you did such a great job here, or wow, you're such a success. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Never take the glory for yourself, because you know God's done it in you. And we want to be that shining light for him. We want to be able to pray effectively, and we want to silence the accuser, because he's going to keep trying. He tried with Jesus, and he'll definitely try with us, but we need to be aware that we have an accuser, but we have an advocate in Jesus.